NBA basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else? The NBA playoffs. We're going to start the show by talking about tomorrow. Well, we are going to talk about tomorrow. But last night's game, a great fourth quarter, back and forth. You know, there was a lot of turnovers in the game. But the last part of that game and just the whole fourth quarter was fun. It was fun to watch two big men take over down the stretch. Both of them, you know, carried their team down the stretch. Obviously, and, you know, Davis, the brow, the big brow with the three-point shot to go, you know, to win it. I think it's four. We were talking off air. It's four buzzer beaters. I've seen it in two different places, and I just saw it on the jump, them say this, four buzzer beaters in the playoffs so far, and that is an NBA playoffs record. And obviously, they needed every one of those three points to get it done because they were down by two after leading by about six or eight late enough to where you thought they'd have the advantage. We're definitely going to break down game one a little bit and talk about last night in the Lakers Nuggets. And then, of course, we're going to talk Miami and Boston. Miami up 2-1, and it could be reversed. Boston could be up 2-1. They almost blew a lead. Well, pretty close to, you know, it got a little tighter than it needed to be even in game three. But game two, fairly big leads back to back, and they didn't get it done. Miami pulls it off. And, you know, that caused a big, you know, kind of a yells fest. Smart was up there hollering at people in the locker room for good reason, too, because, like I said, those first two games, it's arguable, but you could say they could have won those games, both of them. They could be up 3-0, but coulda, woulda, shoulda doesn't really get it done. So we're going to break all this down, and then we'll close on a Clipper topic there. Lots to talk about in that segment, to an extent, relatively speaking, of course. But man, when you look at how speaking of fourth quarters, the last three fourth quarters for the Clippers, oh, in that Nuggets series, oh my goodness gracious, ugly, ugly, ugly. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. But, you know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk directly and download the show or listen to the browser. You can find this show under the Ropeadope Radio Podcast at Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, etc. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? It's basketball, it's football, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And one more thing before we get going on last night's game. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They have a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contract, of course. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And right now, if you sign up, you do get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. And here's another layer to the deal. If you sign up for AT&T TV Now Max, HBO Max already included, plus a free month of Showtime. That's AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, let's get into this stuff because there's a whole lot to talk about just in general. The first game in the Denver LA series. I'm having a little issue here, so I'm kind of distracted. Okay, there we go. You know, it was pretty one-sided. Pretty one-sided, I'd have to say. It's not like Denver was completely out of the game the whole time or whatever like that, but really the second and third quarters 34-21 and 33-20 did it, you know. And you can look at the fourth quarter, 35-23, but that's when, you know, there wasn't really much going on in the way of starters. If you look at the starter minutes, that kind of tells you the story there. And I think the biggest story from that game one was 2 assists and 4 turnovers for Jokic. That kind of threw me off. Like, wow, I knew this was going to be a different battle for him because they have AD. But not just that. It's because they have Howard. They have, you know, who by the way, had one of his best games in the last couple of years, it felt like. 13. He ended up with 13 points. But it wasn't even just the boarding, even though they were outboarding him a lot. Just grinding into Jokic. The foul problems really started adding up, and that was another major thing to that game one. But last night, like I mentioned, a lot of turnovers, no doubt about it, by both sides. The free throws, which once again was an issue game one for the Lakers, last night, 18 of 19. It was fun watching Jokic and AD, the Joker and the Brawl, taking it down the stretch. You know, for both squads, like I mentioned, the Lakers were up, though, by like 6 or 8 fairly late. And Denver closed the gap enough to the point where they got up by 2 points. And then the rest is history. AD hits a shot. They left them open just enough. He almost stepped out of bounds. A second guy went to LeBron momentarily. And, you know, he hit the shot to go up. And a lot of people talking about Davis as, you know, he's never been this far in the playoffs. We really don't know how proven he is. We really don't know about him and all that. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, it just seems like a recycled argument when you didn't have, it's not like he had two series back to back when he was with New Orleans where they lost the series. And he wasn't, you know, they were the favorite and he screwed it up or something like that. That would at least be some, you know, evidence where you could point to. He's been a stud since he's been in the league. The only thing you worry about, and you worry about this with a lot of bigs, are injury concerns. He's had some of those, no doubt, but nothing like Embiid or whatever. Davis hit the shot and he is really, these last two playoff series and in the playoffs in general, this guy has been a workhorse. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. What's going on, Marshall? What a great game last night down the stretch, man.
It was a nice dessert after the Cowboys appetizer of a comeback that never should have happened. It was a fun day of sports. Really,
we're not going to talk about the Cowboys on this here podcast.
Just a quick random ESPN stat for you.
Can we go NBA? Are we really talking? Wait to college football show at least?
No. I mean, Jesus Christ. I live in Texas. So teams who've scored 39 points in an NFL game and had 0 turnovers were 440-0 until yesterday. So Matty Ice does it again. All right, moving on to basketball. Go Cowboys. You know, I was talking to you before the show, and Anthony Davis is normally a pretty chill guy. Like, it just on the court, you never see him get too agitated. But when he hit a 3 to go up 8, when I thought they'd ice the game, you know, he was drawing a lot. When he hit the game winner, he was drawing a lot. You know, and again, we're always trying to kind of guess because we don't know these people. Chris and I are not beat writers, but it looks like someone on the Nuggets must have pissed him off because he's normally a pretty quiet dude. But man, was he running his mouth, and he hit that clutch shot. And that was a beautiful shot. I will say, after watching the replay of that game, Chris, when the announcers broke it down on the initial replay, people said that Plumlee got confused on the screen, so then Jokic had to switch and go over and try to guard him. But if you watch the replay, like, Plumlee was following Anthony Davis, runs like straight towards LeBron and leaves Anthony Davis alone. Yep. So it really actually is a really, really stupid play, in my opinion. Like, and there wasn't, like, you know, because initially they used the word set a screen. LeBron didn't freaking move. Like,
no.
Plumlee ran at LeBron.
It was like a decoy almost. almost. Like, hey, I'm going to do it, you know?
And it makes you wonder why, because Jokic was actually had his back between LeBron and the ball.
Right.
So after watching that replay again, because I was doing our little prep for the show, it makes me wonder, I really wonder what Plumlee was doing. Like, you know, people said, oh, Jokic got his hand out there and he tried it. And Jokic actually put in great effort. Anthony Davis did a perfect shot. But if you watch the replay, like, Plumlee just went to LeBron and Anthony Davis went over. And if that's something you have to communicate as a team, that puts Jokic in a really hard spot, because that's making Jokic make an instant decision of, okay, Plumlee's running to me. I got LeBron covered. How do I go from leaving LeBron to guarding AD? Like, I thought that was a really poor defensive play by a former Duke basketball player.
He just had to throw that in there. Yeah, that was nice. That you're just probably pissed because of how good that certain Celtic players turned out in the league. But we won't get into the Tatum stuff and all that. But yes, it's funny because they found a way to add LeBron to, well, look at how much LeBron struggled in this game. Oh, you know, it's Lord. Like, yeah, I heard that just a second ago. And it's like, dog, he had 26 points, man. What
Jesus Christ.
What are you talking about? Why is it always got to be about you finding a way to rip LeBron? But it's funny because within their hating, well, you know what? He did draw two people to him, didn't he? So doesn't that mean something? Yeah, exactly.
And like, he also had 11 boards and 4 assists. And even though, like, to go back quickly to the about that play, I really think, and the Nuggets have been a resilient team. I believe they're the first team in history to ever get down 3-1 back-to-back series and come back to win them both.
Yeah,
Chris, I really think that I don't think that they can come back from this punch. Like, I know in game one, they'd been the tired team. The Lakers were extremely well-rested. I wasn't surprised the Lakers won game one because the Nuggets had gone through another grind. They had to bust their butt to beat the Clippers. Okay, you come out game one flat, so be it. And, you know, that's fine. But then they show a bunch of heart last night. And, you know, it's like, and then they lose on a heartbreaking shot. And it's like, can this team come back again? Clearly, they're a little, this is their toughest opponent they've probably faced out of the three teams they've played so far. Or maybe the most well-structured, like well-in-rhythm team. Like, the Lakers are playing good ball. So it's like, man, if you're a Nuggets player, it's like, how many more times can they dig deep? Like, clearly Murray's put his name out there on a pedestal. I think Jokic overall has had a pretty overall good playoffs. He's had a couple of maybe rough games, but overall he's had a hell of a run. Like, can the Nuggets really bounce back yet again for the third time? And because game three is pretty much a must win. Like you mentioned, that good strategies. Jokic had played a hell of a game. Like they made it even. But can they come back from another punch when they've done it so much already in this playoffs?
Yeah, I remember the Wild years ago, 2003 or whatever, when they had to, they kept it down. You can't keep doing that, dude. And there's not one goaltender that can make it so hot for you that you're going to win the game type stuff. You know what I mean? And this is a different sport. So, you can't get down. I think the problem is first of all, you know, the Lakers, I think both of us were on the same page. They were going to win the series. And the fact that you got down 3-1 twice is telling to try to win this series. Not telling them as a team or like an indictment on the team, but just getting down back-to-back tells you that they weren't going to win this series. But also, and who knows? You know, who knows? Game three has to – you got to win that game. This is when they really miss the home court, because they would be going nuts in Denver regardless, because they'd probably be like, hey, dude, because, you know, as a fan, you're like, dude, we're right there. We could be 1-1 with them. And if we gain three, then, and you get it in your head and all that. And that's not to say this can't go game six or something like that, or even if it went game seven. You know, I'm not saying that that's impossible, but I saw a couple of people talking about this online and talking about how the heartbreaking situation with the Toronto and Boston thing and how that dragged that series on. The problem is Toronto and Lakers, that's a different squad there, a little bit different. And big shots out to Toronto. You know, I love their franchise. Don't get me wrong, but it, you know, they don't have LeBron and AD. But yeah, it's a heartbreaker. You could have made an argument that they were in rhythm like they had been, and they did get 2 days off, which is a long time between games anyway for, you know, when you're still going. They at least got 2 days off in that in rhythm, whereas I think they were off 4 or 5 games. You could make an argument there, but it is a 7-game, you know, stretch there. So that starts to add up. Yeah, that pretty much made me think this is possibly 5, for sure 6.
And one thing, just kind of put a cherry on top for the Lakers, like they did only 1 by 2, but they did shoot 13 of 36 from 3. That is something that we talked about, hell, the whole nation talked about, of how awful their 3-point shooting was, especially from their role players. And even though Danny Green last night, a former Tar Heel, was 3 of 10, that is still 3 threes. KCP, 3 of 5 for 3 threes. Rondo
and
Crucial
shot
both
well
hit
too, Parker, or Green, in the playoffs in 3 overall.
Yeah, he's had a little bit of a hiccup of late, but yeah, the guy's a proven good playoff shooter normally. You know, AD hit 2, LeBron hit 3. So even though it's not like a super flashy percentage, maybe like Golden State, you still hit 13 threes. So, and 36% is a number that you can probably live by. Like, I think that's probably going to be, if they were to lose in this series or the next one, if they obviously make the finals like we think they will, I think that is that extra piece, because LeBron is going to always get his, despite what haters may say. And Anthony Davis normally never gets shut out. But it's, again, back to the, can the role players do it? And I think the role players, they're getting there. Like, they did just enough last night, just barely, for LeBron to help out. So even as the series goes on, you know, Denver's probably going to keep fighting again for game 3 in a couple of nights. But, you know, it's like if KCP and Danny Green and Rondo do just enough, I don't think Denver has those pieces yet. I remember when we talked about this last podcast, we established the Nuggets have 2 big players with a super athletic player in Porter Jr. and some really good bench players and role players. Like the team is there, Chris. It just seems like you're maybe a year or two away, maybe another good veteran signing away from getting it done. And I think just that you don't quite have the skill yet. You're probably running empty on the gas tank. And I think it's going to be super hard for them to even force this to 6 or 7. Now, I said that last time, it looked like a fool, but I just don't know if freaking Murray can drop 40 in a game again. That dude is just special. Like, I don't know how much energy the freaking Nuggets got left.
Well, and they're going to have to come around defensively night in and night out. I think that is going to be huge. You mentioned Cadwell. They're 8-0 in the playoffs when he scores 10 points. In Rondo, how much more can – I mean, this guy, yeah, he only hit a 3 last night, but he only took 3 shots. He had 9 assists. So, I mean, not just with the starting unit, but the backup unit. He's in there in the face of dudes going, hey, this, that, and the other. You know, he has been such a, I hate to say major piece, but honestly, he has been a settling piece and just knows what he's capable of now at this age, knows the positions he's in as well to try to get another title. And this guy, having them back without him, I think it's a little different, and I'm still kind of wary about stuff, to be honest with you, because we talked about, you know, the other guy who was there too, Bradley, in that combo between them two. That's a great combo for this, and hopefully next year, for the Lakers' sake anyway, that they keep those two, because, you know, Bradley, we know, is just a better 3-point shooter, and he's a dog, you know, offensively or defensively. So, but that's a good point, man. It's I mean, we went with that 2 years ago. They got knocked out of the playoffs, you know, the last night of the, you know, that in that extra game. And so, you know, where will they be in 2 years? You know, it's tough to say, you know, because we could say just because AD and LeBron are probably going to be there in 2 years. You know, we'll see, though. You never know. You know, Mother Nature, or, you know, it's Father Time, I mean, Mother Nature. Well, that is Mother Nature taking over. Father Time is undefeated. Any last words about this here series? Besides, what do you think? 5, 6, 7? What do you think? You don't think it's going to be a sweep, do you?
I can't.
Well, maybe last night was their win.
It wouldn't be bad if you could maybe find – I'm sure the odds aren't super great, but you might get a little bit of profit if you predict a sweep, or it might be around even money. Like, I just think that punch last night was such a blow to the gut. Like, that team, they've had, again, so many battles. And, again, you were down 8 points with 3 minutes to go, and then you take the lead. And you just had a defense miscommunication. And besides that, Anthony Davis, like, not every player in the NBA hits that shot. Like, that was a perfect shot. He had, like, what, 1.8 seconds left on the clock. Like, that wasn't easy by any means. We haven't really even talked about the shot. That was a sick shot. I just don't see, like, dude, I mean, how many more times can a team freaking fight back? And I just, I don't know. I think I've earned respect for Murray and Jokic. I've never really watched Jokic play much. And the story of Murray always was he's on some games, off some games, on and off, on and off. He really hasn't had an off game. I mean, he had a couple of lower level games against Mitchell and the Jazz, but I don't recall him having some shitty games against the Clippers. Like, the dude's really stepped his game up, made a name for himself. So I just think that's something to build for. And if they can win more than one game against the Lakers, I'd be really surprised, Chris. So I'll say Lakers in a sweep, and I'm sure I'll be wrong, but I'll say Lakers take care of them. Nuggets are out of juice.
There we have it. Speaking of juice, this Boston-Miami series has some juice, no doubt about it. I heard Jimmy Butler the other day, yesterday, saying, I am sick of getting down early in games. You know, I'm sick of having to come back. And that's kind of been the story. Game one and game two, the third quarter, has been pretty crucial to an extent anyway. They had a pretty decent lead. They had a, I think it was 61 to, I don't know. They had them. They were up on them. And I'm speaking of Boston over Miami. And that third quarter, it was like a 28 to 16 quarter. And because they ended the run on 13 and 2. And this has been just a game of runs, game of ties, game of taking over leads. It just, you know, it just seems like Miami waits a while to take over the lead late. It's been interesting, man. It has been a fun. I mean, what a great freaking opening game anyway. It was overtime, right? Was it overtime that game won? Why am I spacing that? I think it was overtime.
Yeah.
It was overtime. Butler hit a pretty clutch three. Hero came freaking.
Maybe had the best block in NBA history, or freaking close.
Yeah. I mean, there was a series of things down the stretch. You go, that was clutch. That was clutch. That was clutch. Hero, Butler, you're talking about that block. You're talking about a 5-point lead. You know. Almost at the minute mark, which isn't a death sentence, but come on, like that's pretty crazy. And something that really stood out, and we talked about the post and points in the paint and all that, and the way, you know, the Heat having success, they're not just jacking threes. They played pretty damn great defense in spots, but Bam and Butler posting them up, getting them close to the bucket, getting them easy buckets. Has been pretty impressive. It's crazy how the games just play out. Kemba has been struggling. He did pretty good game three, but in game two, he was 0-for-11 in the series. Finally hit a three. It tied things up. Boston went on a 10-2 run. Miami went cold 10-2 for field goal in the fourth quarter. And then before you know it, it's tied. They take the lead. And it's 195. You know what I mean? Now, in game three, the Heat did, besides, you know, the rook there, besides him, you know, they did struggle from three-point land. And I think it was like 39% field goal rate to 48%, or 48% for Boston. So, now, they made it interesting, probably too interesting in the end for Boston's liking. They did. end up winning the game, but they were really dominant throughout the game, whereas that wasn't the case. They would go on dominant runs, and then Miami would come back. Dominant runs, Miami would come back. Like I said, 2-1 either way, but coulda, woulda, shoulda on the people that say Boston could be up 3-0. Great, man. I could, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we could do. But Hayward did return. That'll help, you know, just another depth-wise, another player, considering Miami has a lot of depth, as we've talked about. What do you think so far in this series, and where do you think it's going to go here? You know, you pick Miami, I pick Boston. Here they're up 2-1.
I think that if you're a Heat fan, you really can't be too bummed, or even the players. I mean, that's your – you've played 12 playoff games. That was your first bad game. Like, that's – I think, like, they were due for maybe one. Like, even in their other losses, it was a Middleton crazy play. Like, I mean, the teams now had one, like, bad playoff game, you know. And even then, they were trying to keep it down to single digits in the fourth. So, as Butler said, like, hey, we keep getting the habit of coming back, and we don't want to do that. Like, okay, that makes sense. But to some extent, like, you know, maybe there's not a good first quarter team. Like, there's some teams that just their MOs maybe would come out flat, or maybe that's, you know, whatever the story is. But in the third and fourth quarter, the Heat have been, like, probably the best team in the playoffs this year. So I think going forward in the series, I still think the Heat are favored. I saw Gordon Hayward did come back. He was, like, plus one with, like, 6 points. So his offensive contribution maybe wasn't really helpful. But as you said, it is a body and a guard that's probably – taking time of a bench player is not as good as him.
No, but he was a major key, according to a couple of people on ESPN, dude. He was a major key in the victory.
Well, they can say that, but when you're plus one with like 6 points, you don't jump off the table to me. But teach their own. People love their East Coast Boston Celtics. I don't see it. I don't know. He got hurt in the Philly series, and they played an even better game one after he got hurt. So I guess I disagree with some ESPN peeps, but I still think that the Phillies I think Miami's just still the better team. Like, you're up 2-1. I've had to come back, but like in the clutch moments, you've had Butler, freaking Goran Dragic. God, if they were to win a title this year, I'd be happy for that guy. I've always liked him. Again, I remember watching him when he was always Steve Nash's backup, and that felt like 15 years ago. And the dude has been playing maybe as the second best Heat player in like the last month. Like, he's just found his younger mode or something. So I guess I'm biased towards the Heat. Obviously, every game has been close, so I wouldn't expect any blowouts in the future for the games. But I think the Heat got the slight advantage in coaching, the obviously the big advantage of being up in the series. And I still think they got that little bit of more of an alpha. Because in game one, especially in game two, you had just that Jimmy Butler Dragic kind of taking over. And again, in a couple of years, Chris, I think that could be Tatum's time to shine. But on those game one plays, like, Tatum was trying to guard Butler, and Butler took him to the basket, you know, and made his plays. And again, Bam Adebayo, even though the Celtics have been doing okay on the rebounds, like I thought they might get hurt by. Bam is still like the best. He's still the best big in the series, and he's still been making an impact, and still obviously presents a matchup issue for Thies on Boston. So I'm still leaning. For the Heat. I still think they get it done. You had one hiccup. You now got 3 days to rest and kind of heal up and get over it. Again, it's a close series, but I'm just sticking with the Heat because I've seen nothing so far in the series, Chris, that would make me change my mind. As long as Butler and Dragic are out there, I still think they're playing at a higher level than the Celtics, and I think they'll get it done. I think the series goes, obviously, I picked Heat in five, so I'll stick with that. I don't know if that would be a winning wager, but yeah, I'll lean Heat. I've just seen nothing to change my mind so far, sir.
Well, Bam, even in that loss, 27-16.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't realize that he had – I knew he had a big game, but I didn't realize it was that big a game. When you say – nothing. I totally disagree with you there. They've played very well for long spurts of this series in all three games. So to say there's nothing there, I think that's incorrect. When we both agree they could be up 2-1 in this series, could. Now, that's a coulda, woulda, shoulda. We already went over that. But I think this puppy's going game 6, game 7. It's been a fun series, no doubt about it. Great way to open up the series. I'm still, well, you know, we already picked him, so there's no going back. But we usually go back, like, or not back on it, but now that we get someplace else, if game seven is around the corner, then we may go, okay, well, now I'm based off these last couple of games. But it's been a fun series. Miami can't, as we say, keep getting down, though, either. Because if all of a sudden they do that again and Boston beats them, it's 2-2, Boston's mind's going to be like, we could have won one of those first games, dude. We got to keep this up. And Miami in the back of their head's like, man, now all of a sudden it's priority in the first quarter. Maybe they don't close as well. Who knows? But like you said, I mean, well, Tatum has been a stud in this one. I think Kemba, they got to find Kemba's holding on the ball too long and dribbling way too late in the shot clock, considering he hasn't had a great series. When you're on, hey, man, do your thing. But you got a lot of weapons. I love me some Kemba, but that's been a problem. That's been a problem. He has not performed up to his standard in those first two games, and it's been a lot of dribbling and saying, all right, I'm going to take this over when, like I said, you got some other studs. Jaylen Brown's been looking good as well. This is a fun series. I do feel like it's going to go game six, possibly game seven as well.
Okay. One, go ahead. Sorry, yeah, go ahead. Just one kind of wrinkle. It will be interesting to see when Spoelstra throws in that zone, if you will, for the rest of the series, because that won him a game.
Yeah.
Like that pretty much won him a quarter, which won him a game or brought him back into a game. So, you know, we talk a lot about coaching strategies and how some of these NBA coaches just stick to their roots and some of these guys like to be a little more inventive. Spoelstra is definitely more of the inventive style. And when they did throw that zone in, that won him a quarter by almost 20 points. So when will he mix that in? And, you know, that's a thing where NBA players really don't see it very often. Like Spoelstra didn't use it first round, didn't use it second round, breaks it out now. And then it didn't win him the game, but it sure brought him back in the game. So
yeah.
As we go on for like the wrinkles, maybe in game four, like Spoelstra goes zone for the fourth quarter. And how does Boston react to it? And it's just such a weird thing where a lot of times NBA offenses just don't quite know what to do. And again, I'm not saying that Tatum or Kemba or Jaylen Brown can't hit threes, but it ruins the flow and kind of makes you second guess and hold the ball. And obviously with Bam Adebayo, you got some length down there. So maybe something to look forward to. Will they go back to zone and how will the Celtics respond? I wouldn't expect the opposite. I don't think Boston would do that because I don't think they've done a zone all year that I'm aware about. So just something to look for. Will the Heat go back to zone and when and what time?
Right. And even just heading into game three, Miami had six players averaging double figures. So just that depth, man, is obvious. It really is. And it's, once again, man, you can say whatever you want about Jimmy Buckets, dude, but to say he can't be the number, it's so funny what he did in the offseason, too. He went to a team that had potential, just potential. Not this, well, they just need one more guy. They'll put it over the top. Nobody thought him going there would put them over the top into the finals. I don't care. Not even a Heat fan. I mean, I'm not talking about like, you know, a fanboy where you just get blinded by the light. But nobody thought that because they even have more cap room, remember? Oh, there's going to be a second guy. This is – I like this establishment. I like what they got going here. I like Riley. I like how it doesn't matter who you are. If you're not going to do this every game, then get the F out of here. And that's exactly what Butler's like. And it's just so funny how many people kept running him out of towns when he was just producing on the court. And a lot of these people, they just don't like what he says on the mic after games or what is rumored to be said, too, because there's a lot of rumors. And he's a guy that will clear those rumors right up. But it's just funny to me that you take it personal so much. Meanwhile, you know, someone that will be Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Corporate League Guy, we find out 5 years later he's a fucking asshole and he does something off the court where you're like, wow. This guy's a fucking piece of shit, but yet you kept telling me Jimmy was a piece of shit. You know, we see this time and time again in sports and in politics and all sorts of stuff, but it's just, It's a prime example. Prime example. It, and I'm just speaking from a Minnesota fan that he left the team. So, you know, go ahead.
Oh, and just to wrap up the Heat, you mentioned the depth, and it hit me right again. Kendrick Nunn was one of the better guards in the NBA this year in the East. And he was out for COVID risk and had to like, you know, was fell behind in conditioning. And he's on the bench, but he's literally almost not playing at all. And so we had one of the best guards in the East who's pretty much been demoted due to their depth. So, like, how many teams in the NBA, Chris, can take a potential maybe top 10 guard in your own conference and then slide him down to, like, the 10th or 11th man on your bench just because you got that much depth? Like, that, so many teams would be, dude, get back. We need you in game shape. We need you back. Spoelstra's like, we're good. Like, you might get a couple minutes here and there, son, but, like, oh, you're okay. Like, I think that just shows the depth because, again, very few teams would sit down. And I know Dragic has been playing out of his mind, but that's just a luxury to have for a team that's like almost 10 or 11 deep, because that's just, you almost never, ever see that in the NBA.
They're not just screwed, like, you know, cap wise either. You know, it's
freaking, well, Duncan's young, a freaking Tyler Hero is a rookie, a Nunn's a rookie. Like, that team potentially could be dangerous for quite a while.
Yeah.
Hell, Bam's young, and the whole freaking team's young.
Dude, I mean, the coach is young, really. You know, they're, you know, basically, he's got plenty of years. He's not just gonna all of a sudden be in his 60s before we know it, you know, like, yeah, dude. Really, just Riley. You know, Riley's the only guy you got to worry about. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Riley. I love you. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
And for a smooth transition, speaking of a team who's not young or a team that doesn't have a lot of potential, last segment of the show, we got to talk the Clippers. My, oh my. You know, I was.
That's why you don't hand over championships.
You know, and so actually, you know, Paul George did say in the Game 7 post-game press conference, you know, we're built here. We're building for the future. Well, no, wait, what? So we lose now. We're all, oh, dude, this, we weren't expecting to win a title this year. We're building for the future. Well, Vegas had you picked. I don't think many people in Clippers Nation thought this was a building for the future kind of moment. We got some young guys. Let's look towards the future. No.
NBA Twitter.
Kawhi. Kawhi and Paul George both just didn't show up for Game 7, because I remember we on our last podcast were like, well, hell, Kawhi is going to step up, right? And I was a fool. I said, I hope the Nuggets win, but the betting man would have to go Clippers. And I'm happy I didn't touch the game. I'm very happy, because that would have been a very painful way to lose money. But in the fourth quarter, Kawhi and Paul George didn't score any freaking points. I get Game 5, I get Game 6, you blew double-digit leads, but hey, guys, like, we got the talent, but the talent right. didn't even show up. I loved it. Twitter was on fire. I sent you a couple of tweets I saw. I mean, there's probably hundreds of great ones. There was one that showed social distancing, and it showed the NBA trophy and the Clippers on like a blank white page and had like an arrow of 6 feet apart. Like, I mean, just another Clippers meltdown. And I felt really dumb, because I remember when we previewed that series, I was like, well, you know, Doc, the Clippers clearly got the better coach. And I'm not a huge Malone guy, but I didn't know that this is no coach has ever blown more than 2-3-1 series leads. And Doc has now done it 3 times. And also when he was in Boston, in 3 out of 4 years, he blew 2-1, 3 out of 4 years, he blew 3-2-1 series leads. So on his resume, I know he has a title, but when you've blown.
Yeah, and some of those are injuries too, if you go back and look at it. Yeah,
but yeah, just for the longevity, man, you've been a head coach. You've had your team blow a lot of series leads. I don't know if this is a hot take, but I think it's worth considering. I think you got to look at a different coach. I mean, you had the Rockets game when Harden was just benched and he blew a 15-point lead. You've now blown a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets, who was not supposed to happen. Are we going to – I'm sure they're going to trot back the same team, because on paper you still have skill. But do the Clippers need to look at a new coach, Chris?
I mean, it's – you know, obviously you better replace them – with someone damn good. We know that. But, yeah, I think it's you should at least take a gander. In fact, a couple of NBA beat writers and just a couple of – like a dude at the Ringer and stuff like that, they actually before the game were like, you know, this Lakers – this or I mean this Clipper squad was just designed because it is, you know, that coach. They're designed for seven-game series. This was always going to be a seven-game series. In fact, you know, because that year they won it in Boston, they had two seven-game series with teams they shouldn't have had those series. A lot of that had to do with Pierce and Ray Allen struggling and KG dragging them along, but we won't get into that. I know Boston fans won't like to hear that. But it's something to take a look at. It is something to take a look at. And by the way, you got a guy named Jerry West and a bomb-ass owner, too. So I think you'll be okay with, you know, whatever coach you bring in, actually, because you do have Jerry West. But at some point, you know, at some point, you have to start to blame that, too. Yes, I think you can look at Doc and say, what the hell, Doc? You know, yeah, I think you got to kind of look at that. I really do. I mean, they got their first field goal under 5 minutes. They were 0-10 in the fourth quarter in elimination games.
And when you look at
the elimination games, now when you start, since we always want to jump on LeBron and just leave nice old Kawhi alone, take, you know, he had that 41 points last year in an elimination game. We know that. But look at him in game seven eliminator games. 5 points, 19 points, 15 points, 13 points, 14 points, and 22 points. And that's only two wins in there. And then go ahead and look at LeBron game seven stats. It may hurt your feelings, folks, for those who don't think he's even a top five player of all time. But, we know his game seven is actually better than Jordan's. But we're not going to get into that. We won't get into that. We won't go down that path. But, yeah. I mean, that George comment was crazy, dude, because I saw the clip, like, an hour later. What? Of him, you know. Yeah. No, I'm not. George needs to – we now know. We've known for a little bit now. He needs to be the number one guy like he was for the Pacers. Otherwise, it's just different, and it gets worse in the playoffs.
And you know, to go with the LeBron thing, like, and I feel like I'm a massively different person since then, but I do recall when LeBron had the off series against the Mavs, but I was living, like, in a different state. Like, that was a long-ass time ago. When LeBron was a little passive with the Mavs in that mm-hmm. NBA Finals.
Yep.
And that was the one knock on the radar, and he lost some titles to Golden State, but holy shit, the dude did every single thing he could to almost beat that team almost single-handedly. Yeah. And again, I'm sure I've missed some actual LeBron games statistically, but overall, besides the Mavs series finals, that's really the only like black eye I have on the legacy that I personally noticed. So,
and it's two games with a new team where he was just being too passive. He was being too passive. And that's all it really was. And look what they did after that. Bosch got into his role. Bosch said, I'll play defense and hit threes. Wade, I think his body deteriorating a little bit helped Bron take over too. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. But, yeah, I mean, all these guys, Magic, Bird, Jordan even for back game, you know, I talked about that Peyton, you know, those two games against Peyton when you can't admit that he just was doing good against you, Jordan. It's okay. It's two games, dude. It's sure. Two games of your career, you know.
I know.
Magic and Bird have bad series. They bounce back, though.
Yeah, so obviously just kind of wrap up on a funny note or fun note because we're not Clipper fans. I mean, hell, Kawhi's coming back. You got Zubac, who a lot of people think has a ton of potential to be a really good center. I obviously got to see what to do with Paul George, but I mean, you gave up, and that actually is my kick. This is the last part I'll talk about for this, is that you gave up first round draft picks until I believe 2027. So you gave up Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who a lot of people are a fan of. I never really watched the Thunder play, so I can't comment, but I believe the guy is talented to be a top two or three player on a decent team. He's not like a LeBron Lillard status kind of guy, but he's good. So you gave up him, and you don't have a first round pick for the next 6 years. Like, what the F is your plan? Like, if this team just choked out in the semis, like, what is your move going forward? You don't have draft picks. You really don't have young pieces to trade. I mean, I don't know what the hell. What is, you're not getting rid of Kawhi, but clearly Paul George is not the right fit. What is the move going forward, Chris? Imagine you're a Clippers fan. What would you want to see? Well, we already talked about the coach from a player standpoint. I mean, right. What do you want to see from that perspective?
Well, like you said, they're pretty much glued into this team. I'll say this. I'll say a couple of things. One, I'll say a pro and a con, or you know, pro sure. them, but don't forget this. You know, they did, the bubble affected them the most this year. I think that's fair to say. But you know, that's Mo's problem. You know, that's Mo's problem. Mo Williams did that. You know, that's why he was out for those 10. You know, that's why he wasn't perfect this year. Or not perfect, but in better condition to go for it.
Lou.
Oh, yeah. What did I say? Mo Williams? Is that old running back for the Vikes?
LeBron.
I think I said that on another show now, too, dude. I don't know why I was stuck on Mo. But, yeah, Lou, thank you. Lou, that's Lou. That's him. That's all on him. Now, obviously, you know, Beverly, they had, you know, there's three guys you could point to and say, yeah, if those three are ready to go when game one tips off, they will be better. So I'll say that. I think you can say that. So I think that's a positive way to look at it. They also did have to mush a bunch of stuff together. However, we were told that they had, their unit was already good to go. It's just plug and play, which it felt like it was never going to be a plug and play, but it did feel like they had the advantage over the Lakers with the plug and play. I mean, neither was going to plug and play, but you know what I mean? They were going to hit the ground running. Yeah. Well, it turns out the Lakers actually hit the ground running and then had some in-betweens. And then, you know, late in the season, you're like, oh, I don't know. But the problem is, Marshall, let's say they get their shit together. Everything is good to go. You're in the conference final. Knock on wood, you know, 2021 finals in conference finals has, you know, an arena full of people. You'll never, ever, 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 especially if the Lakers win this year, it's going to get worse. You'll never have home court, a full home court advantage in LA until you get that new arena. Is that arena coming out next year? When is that arena done? It's still in the same. It's not like they moved to California, you know, to Toledo or, you know, they're not moving it someplace else. You know, they're not moving it to Vancouver. There's no home court advantage if you're going to play in LA. It just doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. You're always going to have a Laker. Not that they, you know, are going to have it all, but if you have that many Lakers fans in a stadium or in the arena in game three, game four, or whatever, maybe they have the higher seed, whatever, it's never going to happen. That has to play into it a little bit.
They'll have their new arena, Chris, the targets for 2024. So
there you go. And even when that happens, that's still not, because it, like I said, it's not in New Mexico. Well, actually, that'd be too close because Lakers fans would go to that too. So, yeah, I mean, you're never going to have it. I saw it during the regular season. Imagine what it means, you know, when it really counts. It's not going to – so that is a con that you go, fuck, dude. That's not – you're never – that sucks. Imagine that. And Laker fans are the worst, dude. You and I know, sitting in the freaking Vegas sports book, Laker fans when they're on top. Ugly, and they roll deep, and they're ready to just go at you, even if you're not saying anything.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, maybe you can trade around a couple of role players, maybe make some trades. But I mean, again, the biggest thing, as you said, was when during the regular season was Clippers were the deeper team. Clippers are deeper. Clippers got a better bench than the Lakers. And even though the Laker guys are jacking up threes at a high rate and not making all of them, they're still getting the job done. The Lakers bench have still helped out LeBron against Portland and against
and they'll
Denver.
Be better. And they'll be better next year. They'll
and
be
Houston. Yeah. So
they're not all on long deals there, all the free agents they brought in, you know.
And I know this isn't like the old vet team where the Lakers tried to get all the old superstars together. It's that's not this Clippers team. But as we've seen in any sport, whether it be baseball, hockey, basketball, football, any sport, sometimes you just put together that roster dream team for a finals that doesn't always work. And I just think with how the Clippers are at right now, I don't think you can undo it. But clearly, I would be very surprised if this Clippers team made the finals next year just because of how this year ended and went. Like, it's hard to have a redo with this just of how it played out. But I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, if you're a Clippers fan, yeah, just another comical year. And again, you really got to look at the coach. You've had 2 3-1 blows of series leads. And I just that's something mentally, too, that is always going to stick with those guys. And the fans will let you know that when the fans come back. So, yeah, I don't know, Chris. But we're not Clipper fans.
They had that breakthrough 1 year in Game 7, right? Where they who did they, oh, I brought this up. Sorry, you know, it was Golden State. I think about before they made the run, and that's it. That's really it. Otherwise, they just get sweet. Hey, get a game or two off the Spurs. Even Garnett with Anthony Peeler got a one game off the Spurs in the play. Nope, we're gonna get swept. Nah, we'll get swept. You know, it's now I give them, like, if you look at their roster 2-3 years ago and now where it is, I give them a ton of credit for that. I would have never guessed this would have been the team a couple of years. You know what I mean? I give them credit there. But other than that, and you got Jerry West, so you can't feel like it's that horrible. But then again, you know, yeah, it's going to be tough, dude. It's going to be tough. And this just Iguodala, we thought whoever got Iguodala would be the person who's going to win the championship between those two teams. Wouldn't that be crazy if the team that got Iguodala did win the championship? It just wasn't the Lakers or the Clippers. That would be nuts. But yeah, it's an interesting one, man. And it's shining a light on this is a two-star league again, and shit happens when it's a two-star league. And this type of stuff happens. And it's the season was better, and now we're seeing the playoffs really pay off. Two stars, you know, league is different than 3 and 4.
So to wrap this up, my buddy literally just in our group chat just sent out a tweet that after Game 7, Paul George gave a speech in the locker room about, you know, being back to like staying together as a team for a title run next year, and it was met by eye rolls and bewilderment.
Right, like, go work on your jumper, dude.
Even if that's fake. Don't hit fake, the side of the backboard.
Yeah, even if it's a fake, go work on your jumper, dude. You have nothing. You've already heard us in the post-game stuff. That's for the coach to say. Let the coach – isn't that a coach thing to say? Well, you know, if you really think about it, the first year's tough, and this – you know, that's for the coach to say. Don't say that as a player. That's funny. Why don't you get us out of here, sir?
All right, well – again, the Heat and Celtics have a couple nights off. The NBA didn't want, hypothetically, for the Heat and Celtics to seriously only go 5 games, and then LeBron and those guys take longer and have a weird gap. So a couple nights free of East Coast basketball. But LeBron is we think, going to be taking care of business here pretty soon.
It's the Clippers' fault again, by the way. It's the Clippers' fault for this.
It is. They've been dragging out series too long. So on that note, we will be having, well, as Chris said, the Eastern Conference should be close games for the rest of the way. It's been fun. Two great teams, two even teams. I hope the Heat get it done, but we'll see. So until then, we'll be back next week. Enjoy your NBA playoff basketball. The boys are out tonight. Peace.